When I got back to my spot, standing next to Julia, my mother leaned over and said to me, "Brandy, you made a spectacle of yourself." What an accomplishment, since my competition was a Mardi Gras parade. Then she turned and walked back to stand with my dad. Dad was smiling at me until my mother gave him the look. "Brandy, are you okay?" Suzanne asked. "You look like Dante popped you with his stun gun."
Yeah, I'm fine."
Julia started prying to find out what he said in my ear. I told her. Ignoring the disapproving looks from my mother, Dante's parents, and all the neighbors who came to the parade, I decided to meet him. Normally, I don't believe in a kiss at first sight. But as I was drawn into the street for the kiss, I felt similarly drawn to go to the municipal auditorium, where the parade would end, to find him. Dante didn't look at me. I had already forgotten his instructions from earlier in the evening to go straight home after the parade. He told me the police had it on good authority that there may be problems tonight with the crowd. I had to find out why I had connected so intimately and without hesitation with the man I had kissed, in front of 1,000 people, no less. I couldn't blame my actions on drinking. I didn't taste liquor in his kiss, and Julia took my untouched plastic flute from me when I started moving to the street. What are friends for, if not to hold your drink while you make a spectacle of yourself? Before the last float approached, Julia and I left so we could make it to the municipal auditorium, where the parade would disband. Where the parade ends always looks like a scene right out of a Godzilla movie, with the Japanese fleeing the monster in mass hysteria. The traffic, people, animals, police cars, floats, bands, equipment, and riders all scrambled. Everyone was pushing, shoving, and cursing to get to the next party, a carnival ball, or home. A free-for-all didn't begin to describe it. I found him. I found him right away. The necktie he wore with the tuxedo hung untied around his neck. He looked at me at the same time I spotted him, and he broke into a heart-melting smile. He was even better looking when he smiled. I couldn't stop the heat rising up my body to my face or the smile I felt spreading from ear to ear. He was walking away from me at a 45-degree angle, and without losing a beat to change direction, his next step moved in the direction of my face. This was easier than I thought. It felt as if the cone of silence that enveloped us while kissing was going to work again. Julia stood right next to me and pointed over my shoulder, saying, "There he is!" She sounded as if she were off in the distance. Our eyes remained glued on each other as he continued making his way toward me. Again, I didn't need to push and shove. People just moved out of the path we made to each other. As we came face to face, we both reached out our hands to take the other's. Just as we touched hands, and before I could even ask his name or tell him mine, a shot was fired. The sound of the gun exploded next to my head. Everyone went berserk, running into us from every direction. We never lost eye contact as he went down to the ground. When he pulled me down to my knees along with him, I saw the blood all over his shirt. He pulled me in close to his face, squeezed my hands, and gasped, "Please, help me. Please save Isabella." Then he passed out. The police were everywhere.